Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome back to our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, a really good pianist. As a matter of fact, a nice guy and a good-looking guy. Kenneth Hamilton is back. Welcome back, Kenneth. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening and great to be back.
It's nice to have you with us. Just a little over a year ago, you were here. During would you call it an American tour?
Well, not really. I mean, I did have a gig in Utah, which I've just come back from. But basically, I'm here for a holiday because I think, as I said to you last year, we my wife and I really like Rhode Island, and we like being able to get lobster without having to mortgage the house and things like that. So we come back here very regularly.
Well, that's great. Kenneth has got a new CD out that will be debuting tonight. We have kind of a scoop here.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's sort of an accident because the CD will be released in October, according to what the recording company tells me. And I didn't think I'd have an advance copy or two, but just before I left Britain, suddenly these few advance copies arrived, and I thought, I'll have to speak to my friend Mike.
Excellent.
In Rhode Island.
Excellent. So don't tell anybody. This is a secret, okay? So we're going to let you hear some music that has not yet been released. It's called Preludes to Chopin. And is with Kenneth on the piano. And tell us why that title.
Well, as you know, there's probably about 5 million Chopin CDs, such a wonderful composer. But and I was trying to find a new angle for this recording. And one thing that struck me was that the Chopin preludes, which are, you know, very famous pieces, are nowadays usually performed as a big set. You know, it takes about 35 to 40 minutes to play all 24 as a set. And there's also a separate 25th prelude as well. But in Chopin's day, you didn't do that. You know, at the most, you might play together three or four preludes. But most of the time, you would play a prelude as a prelude. They're called preludes for a reason.
The beginning of something.
Yeah, indeed, right. Exactly. Right. So they're introductions to other pieces, because in Chopin's day, when you sat down to play the piano, you didn't just start with the piece. You either improvised or performed a short preface. You know, it was basically designed to get people in the mood to shut the audience up, because concert audiences in Chopin's day were not as well-mannered as nowadays, and they'd be talking and all this sort of stuff, and just designed to set the atmosphere. So Chopin's preludes were really examples of this. So I thought, okay, let's record Chopin's preludes as preludes, as prefaces to the longer pieces. So I recorded a couple of the sonatas, the Barcarolle, Polonaise, a few other things, and prefaced it with a prelude, and then called the whole CD Preludes to Chopin, not the Preludes of Chopin.
Okay, all right. I like that thought behind that. Let's give our audience a little bit of a refresher course in the life of Kenneth, and tell us a little bit about yourself. First off, you're not from Rhode Island. We can tell by your accent.
You're well spotted there. Yes, this is Sherlock Holmes-like deduction, I admit, but you've got me in one. No, I'm Scottish. I was actually born in Glasgow. Obviously, I'm a concert pianist. I also write in music sometimes. I'm, as we were just talking about earlier, head of the School of Music at Cardiff University in Wales. So I live in Wales and partly in Germany as well. But a lot of the time, I live out of a little brown leather bag that I carry around when I'm traveling. So
a luxurious grand life, right?
Indeed, everybody thinks it's glamorous, but well, you know exactly what it's like, Mike. My wife says that, in fact, I don't really need anything apart from a piano and this small brown leather bag, and she may well be right.
Well, there you go. And her.
Of course. That goes without saying. And if she's listening to this, I'd like to point out that very much goes without saying.
Okay. Now, you started out, you were born in Glasgow or in that area?
Yes, I was born in Glasgow. That's where I've never really lost the accent, and what eventually people become citizens of the world, especially as musicians, because you spend a lot of time going elsewhere. I mean, I spend, obviously I spend a lot of time in Britain, but also in Europe and increasingly in China. As we were talking earlier, my memories of China are of a lot of very interesting traffic jams in all the large cities in China, because as you know, when you're performing, you don't get a chance often to see the sights. So I'll be back in China in about six or seven weeks' time, and I'm determined that I will actually see something of the wonderful country this time.
Other than the vehicle that's taking you back and forth, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, and being stuck in the traffic. Yeah, I do know how that goes, where you get to a city and all your friends think it's, you know, that you're being treated like a king. Well, you might be treated nicely, but it's really getting back and forth, and then you're out.
Indeed, and it's stressful because, you know, you have to practice. The trouble with piano players is they're constantly worried about having a proper practice piano, so you spend all your time trying to find a piano. And usually what happens is when you have time to practice, there is no piano available, and when there is no time to practice, there is a piano available. So it's a nightmare.
It's one of those things that I don't have to worry about. Just bring my voice with me.
Indeed, that's perfect. You don't even need a carrying case for it. You have it there.
No, there you go. It's very lightweight. And when you were a child growing up, when did the piano bug actually start with you?
Well, it was really I started actually quite late. I was about 10 or 11. I mean, I know people start saying that they started playing as a fetus or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, two years old.
Indeed. And I mean, I now realize it was quite lucky, because I apparently, you know, this research shows you really have to start before the age of 12 to learn any sort of language, and music is a language. Otherwise, you won't speak it as a native. So I suppose I just got there in time. But it just so happened my grandmother, who lived opposite us, got a piano. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I'd like to play the piano. It was simple as that. I didn't have a tiger mother forcing me to play anything at an early age. And then I got to like it. And I didn't even think I was any good until one of my teacher said, I think you probably ought to go to the then Royal Scottish Academy of Music. And I said, oh, all right then. And I went there, and it just took off from there, really.
Excellent. All right. Well, I want to get to a piece of music. We've enticed our audience long enough. So let's go to the first track on your CD. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, this is a longer prelude by Chopin. It's C-sharp minor, opus 45. And there's a story about this, actually. And it's basically an improvised version of music representing a moonlit night. The little story was that Chopin was sitting one evening with his girlfriend, the novelist George Sand. Her name was Aurore, but she published under a man's name, so she'd be taken seriously at the time. And the painter Eugène Delacroix, the famous French painter, and Delacroix, the painter, was talking about mixing colors in painting and how some colors were the product of mixed colors rather than primary colors. Mm-hmm. And they talked about that, and Chopin started discussing how music mixed harmonies produced the same effect, and that there were certain colors in music as well. And so he sat down at the piano and tried to improvise a piece that imitated the sort of bluey silver color of moonlight. Hmm. And George Sand, who was writing about it, said that finally, after he tried various combinations, he got the harmonic combination that where this blue note, she said, not the blue note of jazz, which is but this color blue in music, it came out, and that eventually turned out to be this prelude. And it's why in this recording I've put that on the, if you have the recording as a CD rather than a Spotify or iTunes or whatever, that there's a picture of Caspar David Friedrich's wonderful painting Moonrise Over the Sea, because the music imitates the silvery blue of moonrise.
All right, we'll listen now. Thank you. Beautiful music provided by Kenneth Hamilton, and we could just listen to that all night long. And you find yourself listening sometimes to your recordings or your work, or do you rather not listen?
Well, I prefer not to afterwards, because then I start second guessing myself. I start listening, going, I wonder if I should have played that faster or slower. Was that the best take? Should I have used another take? Or is that G sharp a bit too loud or whatever? And I remember once I was at a dinner party and somebody thought they were being nice to me by putting on one of my CDs in the background, and I found it excruciating because I couldn't concentrate on anything. But should I have used that take? I wonder. And so I prefer to distance myself. But you know, that piece that we've just heard, I think it's such a beautiful piece that sometimes when I'm supposed to be practicing something else at the piano, I just sit down and I play that prelude again and again until I'm reminded that I really don't need to play this. It has to be something else.
All right, let's get the next track in before we take our first commercial break. Tell us about that.
Well, this is actually, you know, it's the second track on the CD. So that prelude leads into the first movement of Chopin's famous Funeral March Sonata, the second sonata. And I've chosen that as a sequence here, actually, because it's a different side of Chopin. I mean, the piece you've just heard is nostalgic and beautiful and lyrical and ruminative, whereas the first movement of the sonata is sort of agitated, energetic, powerful, and in some cases actually very, very sort of loud and tempestuous. So it's not the image of Chopin as this sickly, consumptive guy improvising beautifully in a corner, although he did do that, and he was indeed a sickly, consumptive guy. But it's the sort of piano playing that Chopin would actually have liked to have produced sometimes if he had the strength. Mm-hmm. He once said to one of his pupils that had broken a string, he said, you know, if I was strong as you, I'd be breaking strings all the time, he said. So this is the sort of powerful Chopin, the first movement of the second sonata, where we hear this sort of, you know, basically this agitated narrative. And in the middle of it, as little contrast, this chorale, religious-like chorale theme as a relief from the storms.
All right, it's a little bit lengthy, so we'll listen to the whole thing, but we'll make up the time in the next segment.
Thank you.
we are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, having a very pleasurable evening sitting with pianist Kenneth Hamilton. And we've been listening to a release of his new CD, which actually isn't even out yet. Going to be coming out in October, so we have a scoop for our audience. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. And we just listened to the first two tracks and went a little bit over in our first segment, but we'll pick it up as we go along. It's called Preludes to Chopin, and people that want to purchase this have to wait till October, right?
Afraid so, yeah.
Okay, and then it'll be available...
Oh, the usual outlets, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, okay. Whatever, yeah.
And you have other things that are now available, right?
Oh, yes. I remember we talked last year on your show that a Bach CD of Bach transcriptions by Busoni and Rachmaninoff and Liszt, which is out, and some by my teacher, another CD music by my teacher, Ronald Stevenson, the Scottish composer that we talked about, I think, the year before. It's becoming a regular thing, Mike, on your show, and some other CDs out. So if you're unwise enough to type Kenneth Hamilton into, say, Amazon and music, all sorts of things will come up.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's get back to the CD. There's people are going to get a lot for their money. There are 16 tracks on this CD, and that's a little bit unusual for classical music sometimes. Not quite as much. So they're getting their money's worth. And we're going to go towards the end of the CD now to track 15.
Yeah, and you're right. In fact, I love Chopin so much, I just kept playing on this recording session. In fact, there's even more than would fit on the CD, so there will be a second CD coming out in a year or two's time.
Oh, another teaser. All right.
Another teaser, yes. I didn't intend that, but you're right. That is exactly what that is. Track 15 is a shorter Chopin prelude. It's really the sort that imitates more the sort of thing that a piano player might improvise before a longer piece at the time. So it's basically a tune that's repeated with a short ending, and it's a really, as typical with Chopin, a really beautiful tune. And the end bit of it, the last few bars, last few measures, I should say, in America, because you don't see bar, you'll hear that this A flat gong-like sound in the bass, which according to Chopin was the clock striking 11, not 12. There's 11 of them. So the sound that A flat is loud, and the rest is just becomes more and more distant. So the music fades away as the clock strikes, as it's approaching, but doesn't quite reach midnight.
All right. Well, that was very well said, but I do want to correct you. We do have bars in America.
Thank you.
All right. As I mentioned, we're going to make up a little bit of time by putting a couple shorter pieces in this segment. So now we go to the last track on the CD. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, this is a really, really beautiful piece. It's not just Chopin. It's Chopin rearranged or transcribed by Liszt. And it's a song by Chopin that was entitled My Joys in German, Meine Freuden. But the Polish, I'm told, actually is My Darling. It's basically a song about somebody's girlfriend. And it's a short thing in the original, but Liszt transcribed it to be about two or three times longer and Listified it for piano. But this version is very unusual. It, as far as I'm aware, it's never been recorded digitally or acoustically before, although it did appear on a piano roll in 1905 by one of Liszt's pupils. And this version of this transcription was written for this pupil, Bernhard Stavenhagen. It's never been published in this version, but it's a wonderful late Liszt version. And Liszt himself used to play this piece a lot when he was an old man and just kept adding changes to it. So the changes that you hear are in this version that he passed down to Stavenhagen, including a whole new ending, and this really glorious, gorgeous sort of sunset ending. And Stavenhagen recorded it on piano roll under the title According to Personal Memories of Liszt. So this is the Chopin Liszt My Joys, performed according to Stavenhagen's personal memories of Liszt's own playing of it in 1885.
Excellent. All right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Kenneth Hamilton.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with pianist Kenneth Hamilton, and we're listening to his yet-to-be-released CD called Preludes to Chopin, not from, but to Chopin. Make sure we get that straight. And during the commercial break, I asked Kenneth if he was going to be playing anywhere locally that he wanted to promote, and there may be someone in our worldwide listening audience that might take advantage of this, but you're not going to be local. Tell us where you're going to be.
Well, no, I mean, the next gigs actually are Bangkok in Thailand, then Warsaw in Poland, and then China, unless I've missed something. But I think, like you, Mike, you know, I actually look at my diary a week or two in advance, and I don't know where I am half the time.
So Thailand to Warsaw to, you know, they're right next to each other pretty much.
Only. Well, there's a bus, you know. So.
All right. Well, let's get back to the CD, which we're very pleased at WCRI that you chose to come and visit us again and bring us this little scoop musically. And where are we going to next? What are we going to listen to now? Number 12.
Yeah, this is Chopin's Barcarolle, a very famous piece. But, you know, I've played it for years, as every pianist has. And, of course, it's a gorgeous piece. But I did find myself wondering why on earth did Chopin, towards the end of his life, living in Paris, suddenly want to compose a barcarolle, which is a Venetian gondola song, which a barcarolle is, because Chopin had never been to Venice. Now, that's no objection itself, because Holst had never been to the planets and wrote this famous planet suite, and he did fine with that.
He stayed on Earth.
That's right, and as very famously, Debussy never been to Spain and wrote all this great Spanish music and stuff like that. But Chopin and the barcarolle, the Venetian song. But then I discovered, you know, that there had been a Venetian festival in Paris just before Chopin wrote this barcarolle, and the River Seine in Paris had been lit up a bit like Providence Water Fire, but it must have been. And they had gondolas, again like Providence Water Fire, going up and down the Seine. And this is why Chopin was inspired to write this really beautiful barcarolle. It was because basically there was a proto-Providence Water Fire in Paris in the late 1840s.
I'm glad you're giving us credit for it.
Well, of course, yeah. In a time travel sort of way, you do get credit for it. And, you know, and what came out of this was, you know, this wonderful barcarolle.
Thank you.
Well, Kenneth, time is running short, so I want to thank you very, very much for coming back to WCRI. I hope this is a regular thing. It's been a little bit of a regular thing, but I hope you keep it up.
Yeah, well, as long as I keep releasing CDs, you will always be on my call list, Mike.
Excellent. Thanks so much. We have one more piece of music. Tell us what that's going to be.
Well, this is the famous A-flat Polonaise in a sort of supercharged version, slightly rewritten by the virtuoso Italian pianist Ferruccio Busoni. And basically what he did was add even more octaves to the middle bit.
All right. We will listen to that. And then we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.